And some of us have a hard time doing that, don't we? I don't know about you, but so many times I shrink back when I should confront. I worry when I should or could pray. I cling when I could generously share what I have. I stay in the boat when I could walk on water. How about you? Do you see yourself in that sentence? Do you see yourself in that sentence? I worry when I could pray. Nobody here worries, do we? That's somebody else. I worry when I could pray. I cling when I could generously share. I stay in the boat when I could walk in the water. So how can we change our perspective? How can we come to believe the sufficiency of God in our lives? How can we live in a way that reflects the fact that we follow a God who is so big? Tell me, whenever you had children, and you know, you say, "How big are you?" "Oh, I am so big," right? That's what how they answer that question. "I am so big." We worship a God that is so big, but why don't we live like we worship a God that is so big? Well, there is a word for the process by which human beings come to realize and declare the vastness, the worthiness, the strength of God. We find the disciples taking part in it in our water walking story. Matthew 14:33 says, "And those in the boat worshiped Him." We live in a world that doesn't promote worship, do we? At least of God. Most of us are used to being measured by what we do, aren't we? Even in the church, when the larger church tries to understand if a pastor is successful or not, what do they ask for? Yeah. Concrete, something concrete that they can grab and understand, right? Success is measured by what? What we do, right? That's the way it is in life, too. Success is measured by what we do, what we can literally measure, right? Quantitative. Even in ministry, it's that way. So all of us know the lure of independence and self-sufficiency. When we can say, "Oh, I was able to do this," right? "That was me." Not all the people we walked on to get to that point, right? And then when we think of worship, at least on the surface, it doesn't seem very productive, does it? It doesn't seem like we really accomplish very much as far as the world's standards, does it? I mean, after all, in worship, what do we do that can be measured? How can we measure our success in a worship service? We just don't seem to get things done. Right? According to the world. So why does God insist on worship? Why does God insist on worship? Although worship is about God and not us, God wired us in such a way that when we experience something awesome, when we experience something breathtaking, when we experience something that we can't put words to, we say, "Oh, praise God." Every time I drive up to the Rocky Mountains, for instance, I can't help but go, "Oh, Jesus, praise God," right? Whenever you walk to the Grand Canyon or the Tetons, right? Or how about when you see that newborn baby? Some things we just have to praise God for, don't we? Those awe-inspiring things. You see, when we spend time in worship, our senses are open to God's wonders and miracles all around us. It becomes more than a science experiment. It becomes the wonders of God's creation. It becomes beyond who we are and what we can explain. Our soul expands to our surrounding environment, and you become aware of God's presence in it. When you see a new baby, you give God praise. When you see a flower bloom, you give God praise. When you see the sun rising over a foggy lake like this morning, what do? You give God praise. Amen?